Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Aleph Betamuz, Tafshinayin Hey, Parashat Pinchas, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 7 July 2015, webcasting from the land of the people of the book, the people who discover the God of all creation who created this world with words. 10 times in the opening verses of the people of the book's book, it is written, and God said, let there be a new creation. All he had to do was speak, and everything that is materialized came into being. And how interesting that Mount Sinai, before the nation that he had created, he gave them a book of words, which in fact went on to lead this nation and guide it. And from it came other communities, Christendom and Islam, and Mormons, each claiming to be in possession of its own holy book. People of the Book was a nickname for us invented by the Arabs. Until they had their first book, the Quran, the Jews had been living by theirs for almost 2,000 years. And the Arabs' shift from polytheism to monotheism, from illiteracy to literacy, was surely influenced by their amazement at the existence of the Jews who had their book, and how all of those Jews could read it, when all of them, the Arabs, were uniformly illiterate. In the 7th century, it was surely common among charismatic leaders around the world to be illiterate themselves, but no matter, they had scribes and court recorders for whom literacy was a technical skill. Yet here was an entire people that could read and write and live by what they made of the words in their book. Flash forward to the 20th century and the genius of George Orwell, who saw the connection between the monstrous tyrannies in the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany and their bizarre perversion of language. The Nazis lived out a fantasy of lies, their hallucinatory perception of the Jews and how the world works, with the Jews behind the scenes manipulating everything. It was a language of lies. And the Soviet system, in which language was destroyed altogether. In Orwell's book 1984, he wrote of a regime for whom slogans were war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Orwell also perceived the essential similarity between Nazism and communism in their shared lunatic hatred of Jews. If you remember 1984, in the Ministry of Truth, where the main character Winston Smith works, as in all government ministries, the workers had a daily break called 2 Minutes of Hate, when they were required to watch a film showing Goldstein, public enemy number one, who they shouted at in hatred. He was modeled on Trotsky, whom Stalin had murdered, the Jew as public enemy number one. Orwell, in his other famous work, an essay called Politics in the English Language, ruminated on the similar corruption of speech by socialists and other leftists that supported the Soviet system when he saw through it. And here we saw last week video from Orwell's country, Prime Minister David Cameron, on the BBC, asking the BBC not to call ISIS ISIS, but ISIL, like Barack Obama, though I don't think he noted the comparison. And I'm not sure why not. In any case, I found his explanation just bizarre. The first letter in both acronyms stands for the same word, Islamic. But he seems to think Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, the first one, ISIS, is offensive to Muslims, but not the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Well, leaving that aside, his purpose was clear, to defend Islam from those who dislike this religion. Quote, I wish the BBC would stop calling it the Islamic State because it is not an Islamic State. What it is an appalling, barbarous regime. It is a perversion of the religion of Islam. And you know, many Muslims listening to this program, well, he was being interviewed on the Beeb, will recoil every time they hear the word Islamic State. There are at least a couple of things here of minor and major importance. First of all, who is David Cameron to know what is or is not truly Islamic? I've never heard he knows Arabic, that he has read the Quran in the original, that he's lived in a Muslim country, any of them, that he has written articles and books on the East. Seems to me he ought to be someone with that kind of knowledge before pronouncing on what is and is not authentically Islamic. For starters, he is, as a national leader, responsible, I think, for quickly scanning the 56 countries officially and proudly Islamic, and notice that there is maybe one in which the people govern themselves democratically. Cameron, in his interview, called ISIL an existential threat because, quote, what is happening here, this was just after the massacre of 39 Brits in Tunisia last week, is the perversion of a great religion and the creation of this poisonous death cult that is seducing too many young minds in Europe and America and the Middle East and elsewhere, close quote. But what I want to know is, how can anyone call a religion great when there is no freedom in its precincts, when so many of its devotees are illiterate and contribute nothing to the advancement of science and technology, medicine and arts, the welfare of mankind? What I found most striking and of major importance was Cameron here defending Islam in a way reminiscent of the words of Bat-Ya'ul, a true expert on Islam. You can check out her books on Amazon. Her birth name is Gisele Littman. She was born in Cairo in 1933 to an obviously Ashkenazi Jew, which was not all that uncommon in Egypt in that period, principally in Cairo and Alexandria. Before 1882, there had been virtually no Jewish community in Egypt for centuries. That year, though, the British entered to take over the economy. The locals, practicing Cameron's great religion, had bankrupted the country, despite the opening of the Suez Canal in 1869, which was expected to save the economy. And when the locals corrupted everything, the canal's European, principally British and French creditors, came in to take over. And following that, Jews from all over the Middle East made their way to Egypt under British rule in order to do business there. In Lawrence Durrell's famous 1950s Alexandria Quartet of novels, the Jewish community in that city plays a role. In 1956, though, the Sinai campaign, Israel's smashing victory, had the Jewish community there in terror. And Gisele Littman, then age 22, fled with her family to England. Now I think she lives in Switzerland with her husband, and she has researched the life of Jews and other infidels under Islam, writing under the pen name Bat-Ya'ul, which is Biblical Hebrew for Daughter of the Nile, which she was growing up in Cairo, living in its most upscale island neighborhood called Zamalek. It is coincidentally where Edward Said also grew up. Maybe they were neighbors. Well, Bat-Ya'ul has written the counter-narrative to the secular Zionist ignoramuses who thought life was better for Jews under Islam than under Christendom. To this day, Ashkenazi Arabists write that only in the 20th century did European anti-Semitism penetrate Arabi, which is technically true but irrelevant. Anti-Judaism has had other forms and did before the emergence of that vile crackpot theory in the middle of the 19th century. Bat-Ya'ul relies on primary sources to show that Jews suffered constantly under Islam, and worse. She invented the term dimitude to describe the state of mind of infidels oppressed by Muslims as a part of their normal lives. And worst of all, she sees Europeans turning into dhimmi, so-called protected infidels in Islam. And that's what came to mind in David Cameron's words. This craven untruth, this pandering to Muslims about what a great religion they have, and all this murder and mayhem done in the name of Islam is not the real nice Islam. This is dhimmitude. This is just like Obama after Fort Hood. Like Orwell's big brother commanding the people of England not to believe what they see. It is a life of denial. War is peace and freedom is slavery and ignorance is strength. And I would add, Islam is a great religion.
שיר למעלות אשא עיני אל הערים מאין יבוא עזרי עזרי מעם השם עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום,
ינום
ולא ישן שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלות, אשא עיני אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי? עזרי מעם השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום,
ינום
ולא ישן שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. הנה לא ינום, ולא ישן שומר ישראל. השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה, וירח בלילה. השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם.
So, in his interview with John Humphreys, Prime Minister Cameron suggested that so-called ISIL is a better name than ISIS, and the Gatestone site reported that. Later in the day in the Commons, Cameron repeated his suggestion that the BBC, and I guess really everyone, stop calling the Islamic State the Islamic State, what it calls itself. And he was met with a suggestion from Scottish MP Angus Robertson that everyone adopt the Arabic acronym Daesh, which is used for ISIL. And in fact, on 25 June, 100 MPs had sent a letter to the BEEB's director general asking for that usage. Interestingly enough, the letter was drafted by a Pakistan-born MP, and the letter said, quote, Islamic State, ISIL, and ISIS and ISIL give legitimacy to a terrorist organization that is not Islamic, which a vast majority of Muslims around the world find despicable for insulting their peaceful religion. This is Orwell's language, is it not? War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, Islam is a peaceful religion. It seems the preference for Daesh in this 100 MP letter is to cover up Islam and the role it plays in the horrors perpetrated by these monstrous Muslims. It reminds yours truly of the greatest of sodomite victories in our time, getting society to stop calling them sodomites and use instead the word gay. They're not sodomites, they're gay. Interesting here, too, is the odd coincidence of Orwell's three phrases, which he used to satirize Soviet communism, is today applicable to Islam and its nightmare culture. War is peace is true. For the jihadis, they are at peace with themselves by doing Allah's bidding, by murdering people who don't believe that Muhammad was his final and greatest messenger. Peace is living by Allah's will, and in the Quran, the slaughter of infidels is the peace of living by Allah's commands. And as for freedom is slavery, for sure, that is a contemporary Muslim belief. To listen to their spokesman like Anjem Chowdhury, with his native English, his fellow non-believers are enslaved to the immoral lifestyle of the capitalist West. True freedom for him is living by the word of Allah, and not as slaves to the commercialism and rampant sexuality of the West. And as for ignorance being strength, for sure, Muslims, when they pray, press their foreheads to the ground. They are blind to their surroundings and their enslavement to Allah and His Messenger. That's how they become strong enough to slaughter infidels who refuse to admit that Islam is the correct religion. Dimitude was Batyor's invention, and how prophetic she has turned out to be. For the war waged by Islam today against the West is not only for political domination, but above all, the minds of men and women. It's a war for a kind of mind work at work when the President of the United States, after 9/11, and really decades of horror perpetrated by maniacal Muslims, says Fort Hood had nothing to do with Islam. This is like Orwell's Society of Slaves, for whom Big Brother loves them all. Big Brother is all-knowing. Big Brother has enemies, and with them, followers of Big Brother must be merciless. I find it simply frightening that 100 MPs in the mother of parliaments, that's almost one-sixth of them, would vote to install the Arabic word Daesh, which, despite its acronymic meaning, Islamic State, to the English ear, covers up the idea of Islam. Thus, when Daesh orders children in old Palmyra, Tadmore, to machine gun to death 25 captured Syrian soldiers, that was a video last week, the connection to Islam is covered up. Islam's war is thus, before it is a material war, a spiritual combat. It's the freedom of the mind in the West that drives these people crazy. One facet of this Islamic mind work is known to us via the common Islamic Arabic insistence that the Holocaust never happened. The Jews just made it up to make people feel guilty and bend them to the Jews' demand that they be given Palestine after World War II. Arabs, Muslims, are incapable of confronting their own worst feelings about Jews. And like other Jew haters throughout history, they project onto us all their own worst evil inclinations and sins. They cannot face the truth of the Holocaust because it reminds them of their own desire to kill us all, God forbid. The battle over Israel is very much a battle for history, which Orwell well understood. His main character, Winston Smith, works at the Ministry of Truth. And what does he do? He rewrites what was in the newspapers the day before and flushes the original down the memory hole, which is this, which is the name of the vacuum tube system in the story, once common in modern offices in the early 20th century. Before email, one could place notes and other papers in capsules and pass them around in a building from a department to department in these vacuum tubes. Orwell was inspired as well by the Soviet practice of touching up photographs of former leaders murdered by Stalin, photoshopping them out of the photo before Photoshop was invented. It was Winston Smith's job on a daily basis to rewrite what had happened, and that is exactly what the invention of the Phantom Nation of Palestine has all been about. In the early 20th century, visitors to Mandatory Palestine were witness to Zionists, as the expression went, making the desert bloom by draining swamps, planting millions of trees, each sapling by hand, making the brown desert green again, But then, after the Six-Day War, the Ministry of Truth, administered by World Anti-Jewry, rewrote history. Palestine had been no desert before the Zionists. Palestine was green and fertile, and home to the ancient Palestinian people who had been here for millennia, minding their own business until after World War II, and in came those racist, fascist, imperialist, colonialist Zionists who stole their country from them. Islam is not a great religion, and I fear for civilization when such as the Prime Minister of England tells us that it is. And he pays no mind to the horrors they perpetrate, these maniacs, inspired by their so-called holy book. Obama, remember, has on more than one occasion called it holy, and even said it was revealed. Michael Oren even quoted him last week, Obama, without noting the horror hiding behind this idea.
Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echzar, bin ot deshe yarbitzeini, al mei menuchot yenhaleini. Nafshi yeshovev yancheini, b'mag letzedek leman shmo, gam ki elech begeit al mavet lo irara. Ki ata imadi. שבטך ומשענתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורי נשענת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים לאורך ימים מזמור לדוד השם רואי לא יחסר בנאות דשא ירביצני על מי מנוחות ינעלני נפשי ישובב ינחני במאג לצדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא יירר כי אתה עמדי תנאי נאנאי נאי נאנאי נאנאי Da na 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 שבטך ומשענתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורי נשענת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים לאורך ימים דנאי נאנאי נאנאי נאי דנאי נאנאי נאי דנאי נאנאי 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 נאי נאי נאנאי כי אתה עמדי נאנאי נאנאי Ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Speaking at the close of the last segment about Michael Oren, on the DPP blog last week, a friend and listener, Jeff B12, posted an interview done by Daniel Pipes of Michael Oren. Oren is a mixed bag of goodness and shortcomings. It was good of him in his book to reveal how for 7 months Obama negotiated with our mortal enemies in Tehran behind our backs. But Oren doesn't use the word betrayal. He is right to expose how Obama broke the mutually agreed U.S.-Israeli practice of no surprises and no daylight between positions. But again, as a diplomat, he does not use the word betrayal. I can respect that, but not his other judgments, which I find at best mistaken and at worst even cowardly. For example, he accepts at face value Obama's, quote, passionate Christianity, to which I say, please. Obama was converted by that famous Christian missionary, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, this preacher of hate, who, according to one source, was in the Black Muslims until he realized Louis Farrakhan had a lock on the organization. So he went off and became a Christian preacher of hatred, not a Muslim one. Like Obama, like Al Sharpton, Wright is just another race hustler. Obama has not, I think, been to church since he took office. Obama has repeatedly bashed Christendom for its sins while praising Islam. Does Michael Oren really believe this chronic liar is a Christian just because he says so? My rule of thumb with this guy is that everything out of his mouth is a lie. Worse, Oren in the interview rightly cited the Cairo speech as foundational and even quoted verbatim Obama expressing his pleasure at being in the region where the Holy Quran was revealed. Excuse me, but a real Christian does not think the Quran was revealed. Official Catholic doctrine sees Islam as a heresy for its perverted misunderstanding of Jesus as a human prophet, but not a divine God. Moreover, in this interview, Oren the diplomat, although he's now out of a job, insists that Obama is neither anti-Semitic nor anti-Israel. Again, I have to say, please. And maybe worst of all, he accepts that, quote, the Palestinian people have an inalienable right to a state in which the Palestinians regard as their homeland. He's fine with that, he said. He said the problem was that they did not reciprocate with a parallel recognition of the Jewish people's rights. And I'm not fine with that. This attitude of his is in direct contradiction to the bedrock of the Zionist movement. All of the pioneers, regardless of ideology, left, right, and center, did not see, a century ago, another nationality here with rights to statehood besides the Jews, and because there was no other nationality here at the time. Eretz Yisrael was a barren backwater in the decadent Turkish Empire, abandoned, neglected. To posit the existence of such a nation with rights to statehood here, other than the Jewish nation, is the antithesis of Zionism. In his defense, Oren is a textbook secular Israeli, one of whose characteristic materialist behaviors is not to want to argue over history. But, like Shimon Peres, who says history is useless, history is wrong, Israel must look to the future. Israel wants to make a deal with the Palestinians, and what good can come from arguing over the past? Their version versus ours. This interview is also worthwhile for what it reveals of the otherwise estimable Daniel Pipes, who asked Oren, does Obama have a grand strategy or is it all improvisation? Which tells yours truly that, like Oren, Pipes is blind to Obama's age-old hatred of Jews as the engine of his mind work. Pipes even sees no Islamic influence in his decision-making. In reaction to Oren's armchair psychoanalysis of Obama's Muslim boyhood, it's like pundits today who think Obama is concerned for his legacy, which he is not. They think he is bent on a deal with Iran at any price for that legacy, and I disagree. Such pundits therefore see in him a normal president, but I don't think he gives a damn about his legacy or an agreement with Iran. All he's ever cared about is sticking it to the Jews and making sure Iran goes nuclear, and all that that implies.
Kumi roni roni balayla, roni balayla lerosh hashmurot. 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 Ahayay, ahayayay, shifri kamayim, kamayim libech. Nochach penei Hashem, ay 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 ay, shifri kamayim kamayim libech. Nochach penei Hashem, ta na 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 na. Na 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 na. Kumi roni roni balayla, roni balayla lerosh hashmurot. 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 Ahayay, ahayayay, shifri kamayim, kamayim libech. Nochach penei Hashem, ay 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 ay, shifri kamayim, kamayim libech. Nochach penei Hashem, ta na 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 na.
Okay, that's it for this Tuesday evening in this very quiet day here in the summer in the land of Israel. Until Thursday, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.